Boy, I like looking through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins today of the Chronicle. Bruce, you know, we've watched baseball a long time. There is nothing like the drama of a first playoff game in a series, and we saw it last night.
Oh man, what a thoroughly entertaining game and a thorough victory on so many fronts. You know, the young kid pitcher Webb is coming into his own. The veterans come through. The Dodgers don't even score. The atmosphere was just fabulous, and there's so much more to come. I mean, last weekend when we talked, there was a chance the Giants could be forced into the wild card game, and they wouldn't even be here. They'd all be scattered around the country, but they didn't have to go that route, and now it's like the sky's the limit.
Well, it was like, remember John Tunis, T-U-N-I-S?
Yeah.
That we read his books as kids.
Yeah.
You know, the kid from Tompkinsville or what have you. That's what Logan Webb looked like last night. You know, he was he's a young guy, but the ball had movement. I mean, you think of the great pitchers that he put his name next to. You know, the Cliff Lees of the world in playoff baseball, and Lincecum, and Bumgarner, and Kane. There was just something about him last night. They never squared him up the whole night, Bruce.
They never did. My wife and I get a kick out of it. He's got such a great face, like you said. It's out of one of those old-time kids' novels, you know, and it's not a handsome face, but it is a great face. It's a good face, and it's a stone face when he's out on the mound. You know, when he I guess around the sixth or seventh inning, I'm taking notes, and I wrote down Lincecum because it was starting to remind me of when Tim Lincecum christened the 2010 postseason with a two-hitter against the Braves, 14 strikeouts, and that was the beginning of their run. He was a lot more accomplished than Webb is now, but it was just like, wow, this is how we started. And I certainly wasn't alone thinking that, and a lot of other people mentioned that, and Buster Posey mentioned it after the game. But what a comparison to make, and he's every bit of that, because like Lincecum, he threw pitches that looked hittable until they dropped out of sight. I mean, Dave Roberts is complaining about that we didn't make any adjustments, but it's really hard to adjust to a slider with such late life that he gets, or a changeup that just completely disappears. You know, it's easy to say, well, take it, you know, grind out the count, but, you know, that pitch looks pretty good until you swing and miss.
Well, you need an ace, and he became an ace. The Dodgers hitters lead the National League in walks. I think the Giants are second, and they chased last night. They chased and chased and chased, and to me that was the big thing, is that they're a good hitting team, and I'm going to ask you your opinion of the Dodgers, because, you know, they had the wild card game and the big home run, and last night, of course, it looked like a dud anytime you get shut out like that, but they were chasing all night.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, the best of five series, there's a little panic sets in if you lose that first one, you know. You don't want to be down 2-0 and all of a sudden it really is a must-win game. But, you know, I haven't been so impressed with the Dodgers hitting all year. It's a drag they don't have Muncy. But I don't change my opinion after one game. I just think Webb was that good. I think, you know, they've got a chance to have a similar experience tonight for a different reason, different pitch, the splitter with Gausman. And who knows where that could have a similar result. But, I still think it's a fearsome team. And they're a little bit on their heels right now. You know, where do we got to get Taylor in there. You know, what about Bellinger? And should we get Lux in there? And they're kind of reeling a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see. I imagine they'll bounce back pretty well.
Well, I'd get Bellinger out of there.
Yeah.
He can't hit. He's hitting like 150, you know, and for the whole season, and he's hurt, whatever it may be, just can't hit. So to me, that's an automatic out, but, you know, that things can change, but we'll see where that goes.
Yeah.
But the Dodgers themselves, they put the ball in Urias' hands. Good pitcher. Carey went through the real deep dive on what he does. He is hittable, and you just have to get him into those fastball counts and not chase his curveball.
Yeah, well, he's got a tremendous demeanor out there, really unflappable. He always wears the same expression. I mean, the teammate hits a grand slam or something, he still looks the same. He's excited. Maybe they'll crack a smile, but real interesting kid, you know, from the wilds of Mexico, just like Fernando Valenzuela many, many years ago, left-hander. It was kind of a mystery to people, and he saved them in the postseason flat out last year. He closed out the NLCS and the World Series in relief. I love watching him pitch, and And he can hit too. So it turns out Gausman can hit a little bit too. But I think it's a fascinating matchup. I think Urias is the guy they want out there. Of course, they don't have Kershaw, and Scherzer can't pitch till Game 3. But he's definitely who they want.
Yep, that's good. Well, look, I can't wait to watch it. It's going to be another crowd is going to be nuts, and Gausman is terrific, and the bullpens are ready, and it's Giants-Dodgers. You know, everyone made a big deal and said, oh, they've never played each other in the playoffs. If you saw 1951, which I don't remember, but if you saw 1962, those were as tight fought games.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, are you kidding me?
Yeah, that was totally postseason. I mean, except by name.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's the best of three.
Really?
Come on. And the whole world's watching, and the stakes in both of those series are really well remembered, especially 51. I mean, every baseball fan knows about it, and even if they hadn't been born for 20 years. Mm. So, yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, to say they haven't faced in the postseason, that's just kind of a technicality to me.
Mm. Kruk and Kipe last night throwing out the first pitch. It was great to see Duane out there with Mike. I know you wrote about the broadcasters this week. I take it John and Dave are going to L.A. to do the games, but
yeah.
Mike and Duane are staying here for obvious reasons. Your thoughts of seeing them out there last night?
Well, it was just so inspirational. I mean, both of these guys have gone through so much. You know, Kruko's has been dealing with that deteriorating leg condition, and it gets a little worse every year, and he's got the cane, and he needs support, and he doesn't really have much left in either arm, so he didn't really actually throw a pitch. But and then Kiper, you know, has undergone chemotherapy, which apparently has worked, and he's back. He's, you know, you're never out of the woods, but it's been the best possible outcome for the condition that he would rather keep to himself and his doctors. So there they are, the two old wounded warriors out there. But, you know, their spirit is just indomitable. I mean, it's really heartwarming to watch.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It really was. And Duane actually had a little pivot. Like, he looked like for that. You know, this is why I like old-timer games. For a half a second, you could see him on the baseball field turning a double play.
Yeah. You know, I covered a lot of All-Star games when I was on the beat, and usually during that, that 3 or 4 days leading in, they'd have an old timers game, and I saw a lot of great things where you get a glimpse. You know,
right.
You
get, that second.
I saw Luke Appling hit a homer. He was like 70 years old.
That's not old, is it?
Not for me. It's pretty young for me, but
good. Yeah, he hit it to left field. He hit it out in the old RFK Stadium, I think, is where he hit it. Very good. I was glad to see that last night. Well, the National League, again, 2-1 yesterday. Rowdy Tellez from it seems like everybody's from Elk Grove who plays in Major League Baseball these
days. Dylan Carlson's from there.
Yeah, so he knocked one out. And I told you, this guy Hauser, he's a big part of what the Brewers are doing. And they ended up winning, and today I think the Braves are winning this game right now against the Brewers. So tight games, National League tight baseball.
Oh, yeah, that's a wonderful series. You know, it's obviously dwarfed, I think, almost no matter where you are, unless you're a fan of those teams in those cities, you know, dwarfed a little bit by Giants-Dodgers. It's hard to beat that for the first round. It's going to be terrible when Giants-Dodgers is over because it's almost an anticlimax, at least for a while after that. But yeah, that's a real good series. You know, both teams are hurting a little bit. You know, Atlanta doesn't have Acuna, and Milwaukee lost Devin Williams he punches a wall. Like, I don't know what he was thinking there. But you know, good hitting, good situational play. Guys you want to watch: Adamas, Freddie Freeman, Ozzy Albies, Josh Hader. It's really fun, and I love it that the games are tied. I suspect it'll be that way all the way.
Well, one of those two teams will be playing for the pennant.
And, yeah.
Hope it's against the Giants, which I think it will be. I've picked the Giants in 4, and I think the Giants are going to win the pennant. And we'll see. This is 2-0 Atlanta. Max Fried is an ace. He's pitching for Atlanta today against Woodruff, so we'll see where that one ends up. But how about Tampa Bay and Boston? You talk about a wild game. Tampa Bay's got a 5-2 lead. Luplo, Al Luplo's grandson, who played for the Cleveland Indians in the early 60s, hits a slam in the first inning, and Tampa's up 5-2. And then all of a sudden, the Red Sox woke up, hit 5 homers. Kiki Hernandez, 5 for 6 yesterday. How about that?
Yeah. I immediately thought about Al Luplo because he made a catch in 1963. It was a regular game at Fenway. He was with the Indians. And Dick Williams of the Red Sox, that the same Dick Williams, hit a drive deep to right field. And Al Luplo made an all-out dive that found him winding up in the Boston bullpen. And that fence is only like 5 feet high. It's one of the great catches, really, of all time, especially in regular season. So here's Jordan Luplo, apparently, you know, wrapping up maybe game two for them. But, yeah, I'm so glad that that series is even. But, man, I mean, the Dodgers are looking at Kike Hernandez and Jock Peterson, who homered for the Braves.
Oh, right.
They're looking at two guys they might be using right now. But and interesting, Christian Arroyo, how about him starting for the Red Sox? He looks overmatched, but he's in there.
Yep.
But, you know, Bogaerts has been unbelievable. And Verdugo's playing great, you know, and it's great because the great thing about the best of five, you wish it were best of seven, but at least it's some good storylines develop, you know, and you get into it and it goes on for a while. You know, Wander Franco and, of course, a Rosarena. I mean, good grief.
How about that? I mean, sir, yeah, that was next on my list for you. To see this kid steal home, and the camera work was fabulous.
Beautiful.
Fabulous. And to see him take off, it was in the last one to do it, Jackie Robinson, 1955. How about that?
Yeah, straight steal. It's not easy, but he was reading that guy, the young pitcher, and when Rosarena broke for the plate, that the pitcher was looking the other way.
I mean, it was he never reacted. Yeah.
No, it was a beauty because that's the way Rosarena saw that he was taking this. He goes, "This guy's not taking me seriously." And there you go. Any homers in the game. It's much like last year in the postseason where he struck people as like, is he the best player in the game, like, you know, right now, like today? Mm. It's hard to put anybody ahead of him.
Mm. Boy, and the relief pitcher for Boston, just to talk about this just for another second, Chris Sale gets knocked out. Of course, who knows what's up with him. And then they bring in Tanner Houck, Houck, five innings, two hits. No walks, five strikeouts. He settles everybody down, and the Red Sox win the game. How about that?
Yeah, I played with a guy named Ralph Houck in high school basketball. I'm thinking, my God, is this his kid? His grandkid, maybe. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you know, guys come out of the woodwork. You know, I'm sure a lot of fans have no idea who Camilo Duval is, but you know, you get a little bit of look at him, and it's like wow. But it's a beautiful thing. I mean, you know, between, you know, Duvall is just starting out and a guy like Posey is just dominating in every phase you could name, it's really, really wonderful.
Then the Astros just crush the White Sox twice. White Sox pitching, Bruce, is not there. And, you know, they swing wildly, but they're going home, and it's Tony La Russa again. But the White Sox got knocked out by the A's last year. And, man, Houston swings the bat, I will tell you. I'm not thrilled with their starting pitching other than McCullers, but, man, do they hit.
Oh, geez, yeah. I've got a soft spot for those guys, and we all know that they're attached to one of the most regrettable scandals that the game's ever had. But I always liked Correa and Bregman and Altuve. Just from the moment I saw them, I just love the way those guys play. And, you know, they're proving that the Astros are they're every bit as good as they've ever seen them, whatever they were doing or whatever they weren't doing. They're great, great ball players. They really are. And Dusty's in his glory. You know, he hasn't closed that series or anything yet, but I like the story. I don't have a single problem with Houston going as far as they possibly could.
Oh, great stories this time of year. I love the stories this time of year because they're forever. When you make your name this time of year, it is forever. A couple of historical notes. One, 1934, it's a great baseball moment, and it has names that we love, like Ducky Medwick, Dizzy Dean, and the Cardinals and the Tigers in Game 7. Cardinals win it 11-0, but Ducky Medwick, he walked like a duck. Ducky Medwick is in the middle of controversy, and it becomes folklore.
Yeah, he walked like a duck, but he also hit 374 one year. And like his first 11 years, he was never under 300. He was one of the great hitters of the league. And there came a play where he was trying to stretch it out a triple, hitting into third base, and Marv Owen was waiting for him. Marv Owen from San Jose
correct.
High School,
that's
then
right.
Bellarmine, and then on to Santa Clara.
Very good.
Absolute Northern California guy, played for Seattle in the PCL, and up with this great, great Tigers team with Hank Greenberg and Charlie Gehringer and Schoolboy Rowe and incredible World Series matchup against the Gashouse gang, and unfortunately the game was out of hand. But so Medwick slides into third. There's a huge cloud of dust, and something happens in there where they come up really angry. You thought like a riot was going to break out. The game was delayed for like 20 minutes. Well, they tried to figure this thing out. They got the commissioner in there, and they tried to – Medwick tried three or four times to get back out to left field, and they're throwing things at him, and it's complete madness. And Judge Landis, the commissioner, finally summoned everybody he could, and he got Medwick to admit that he kicked Marvo. And it wasn't a fight, but the whole series had been complete trash-talking, just wicked stuff back and forth. And it kind of came to a head there. And he finally kicked Medwick out of the game, but Dizzy Dean polishes it off. And, you know, what really fried the Tigers was Leo DeRocher was the Cardinals' shortstop and not much of a hitter. He had three hits in Game 6 and two in Game 7. Mm-hmm. So he's tormenting him along with Dizzy Dean and Ducky and Pepper Martin and the rest of the gang.
Boy, what a great baseball moment. Dizzy Dean is put in as a pinch runner the day before. And he's going from first to second, and the shortstop, I guess it was Dick Bartel, was the shortstop. And he throws the ball to first base when Dean is coming into second. It hits Dean right in the middle of the head and knocks him out. He's taken off in a stretcher. And, of course, the famous headline of Dizzy Dean, they x-ray him, and it says, x-rays of Dean's head shows nothing. And that was...
He came out of it a little better than he had before.
And they threw a shutout the next day. So
yeah,
whatever.
Exactly.
That's what happens this time of year. The other one, 1966, the Orioles end up sweeping the Dodgers, and who but Frank Robinson hits the big game-winning home run, and McNally beats Drysdale.
Yeah, geez, that's what a World Series! The Dodgers didn't score any runs in the last three games. You know, between Wally Bunker and Palmer and finally McNally, but it was a great 66 was a great pennant race, and the Giants were in it right to the last day, and they played one less game than the Dodgers because of a rainout or something, and they were sitting at an airport waiting to see if the Giant in the Pittsburgh airport after beating the Pirates, seeing if the Dodgers needed the Dodgers to lose a doubleheader. Then they'd play their makeup game and see if they could get into a playoff. And the Dodgers did lose the first game, but Koufax, forget it. He pitched the second game. Meanwhile, that takes him out of the opener of the World Series, and Drysdale gets out there. And of course, he's a legend, but he tried to whip one of those tailing inside fastballs off the hands of Frank Robinson, and Robinson hit it about 900 feet. Two-run homer, Brooks Robinson homers, and that just completely set the tone. The Dodgers actually chased McNally in that first game. That's the only offense they did at all in the entire World Series was against McNally. But he comes back, you know, pitches a shutout, and of course, Dave McNally. You know, he's remembered as a guy who he's the first and only pitcher to hit a grand slam in the World Series. That was 1970 against the Reds. So that was the end of my Dodger fandom. That I just got into Cal and I'm embracing Northern California culture and Koufax. That was his last game, and next thing you know, he's finished. And that was the end. It was kind of remarkable how quickly I lost my affinity for the Dodgers. But you know, when you get to be a sports writer, those things happen. But that World Series really put Baltimore on the map. Mm-hmm. You know, they're in there trying to compete with the Colts, Johnny Unitas, and legends everywhere you look. And they weren't really very good, and they weren't drawing. But all of a sudden, they had put together a really good team. And after that, you know, I think Jim Palmer himself went to like six World Series with that team.
Boy, great recollection. And, of course, that made me think of it today because, look, this Dodger team got shut out last night. They got a tough customer in Gausman today, and in that World Series, other than knocking McNally out, Mo Drabowski struck out 11 of 20.
That's right.
And they never scored again, so let's see. Maybe there's deja vu all over again. We'll see. This was a good one to bring up. Well, another great, great show, and again, I hope we're doing one next weekend.
I'm sure we will.
You know, I think so. My prediction is Giants in four. And they're going to the World Series, and they're going to be playing for the pennant next week. But we'll see.
Well, I tell you, I think there's a good chance they go to LA up 2-0. if Gausman pitches the way that he has in the last few times out, they got a real good shot at it.
Well, we'll see. You know, the Dodgers are a little bit back against the wall, even though it's a five-game series, or you can always come back. But, you know, they're a little bit of a cornered team here, and they've got their hands full with Gausman. So it should be a great game. Great game. Bruce, thanks so much, as always.
Okay, Marty. Hopefully we talk again.
Yeah, next weekend. All right.
I mean in life. I mean next weekend.
That will do for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Be well. All right. That is Bruce Jacobs. Okay. More coming up. Susan Slusser of the Chronicle will join us next and give us an update on what's going on at the ballpark. We've got much more for you right here at KMBR 680-1045, the sports leader.